McClatchy Newspapers reports that there's a new and growing dissident activist network that sprung up in Cuba since President Barack Obama initiated warmer relations with that island nation 15 months ago. They say people are more willing to voice their frustrations as they see an opening for change in the relationship with the United States. That growth is in part the reason for the step-up in the Cuban government's crackdown on dissidents that was evident during President Obama's 48-hour visit to the island. Dozens of activists were arrested before Obama's arrival. However, many activists are not actually jailed, but are held briefly or given house arrest. William Leo Grand, co-author of the book Back Channel to Cuba, says fear may be too strong a word to describe the Cuban government's concerns about its new relationship with the United States, but he said it's undoubtedly the case that Cuban leaders want to impress upon dissidents that the opening doesn't mean they'll tolerate activity they regard as subversive. At a joint press conference with Obama during his visit, Cuban leader Raul Castro rejected the idea posed by reporters that his government had imprisoned anyone for speaking out against the government. He countered by saying that Cuba had honored the most sacred rights, the ones guaranteeing universal health care, education, and equal pay for women in the workplace. Castro called on the United States to abandon the Guantanamo Bay military base and to lift the U.S. embargo against Cuba. He said relations would never be fully normal until both these things were accomplished. With sinking global oil prices, Angola, Africa's second-largest oil producer, is seeking a bailout from the International Monetary Fund. Already in 2016, Angola's currency, the Kwanza, has fallen 16% due to low oil prices, and government spending has dropped by 20%. The West African nation had borrowed heavily from China and its former colonizer, Portugal. Angola is now seeking a 3-year bailout that could exceed $8 billion. The IMF is expected to impose new austerity measures in Angola, limiting the prospects for future growth. Currently, oil production accounts for 95% of Angola's exports and over half of all government revenue. 50% of Angola's 24 million people live in extreme poverty, despite the nation's oil wealth. Angola's move reflects the growing stresses being felt by oil producers across the developing world that have been hit hard by a collapse in crude oil prices and are now struggling to plug the gaps left by dwindling revenues. Countries ranging from Azerbaijan to Nigeria have in recent months been engaging in discussions with the IMF, World Bank, and other multilateral institutions over how to cope with the oil price fallout. Massive budget cuts by outgoing Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal have put the state's public defender system in peril. The cuts to legal services are so severe that it has endangered the right to a fair trial for poor criminal defendants. The budget for public defenders in the Bayou State will be slashed by 61% in fiscal year 2017, creating unmanageable caseloads where attorneys are unable to consult with every defendant who needs representation. In response, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit to compel the state legislature to adequately fund the public defender system. Governor Jindal came into office with a $1 billion surplus driven by high oil prices, but the conservative governor and failed presidential candidate followed the Republican playbook of cutting taxes for the wealthy and exempting corporations from paying income tax, a strategy that resulted in Louisiana's $2 billion deficit. According to the American Prospect magazine, a shortage of public defenders is forcing many presumed innocent defendants to be warehoused in overcrowded jails without benefit of counsel. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.